How many times do we just find ourselves without answers? You know, just because we're religious? We come to this building, we call ourselves Christians. Does that mean that we have all the answers to every situation in life? But we're supposed to be the ones people turn to when it's hard and difficult times come, and we're supposed to have all the knowledge and know exactly what to say and to understand the reason behind every circumstance, to be the go-to person or persons who make sense of every hardship, every trial, every puzzle. Just because we do these things doesn't mean we as believers in God don't feel just as wondering at times as well. The events of this past week have left many asking questions and searching for reasons why. I would say even many of us, yet religious, still search for answers, as it were, in the dark. As we gather around the table this morning, join me as we look at an example of a religious man, a teacher of the law, one who often was the one who would be the one, the go-to guy, the turn to, the people would turn to for answers. He finds himself wondering, just as many people do, as believers do today. Let's come alongside Nicodemus this morning as he has questions. Nicodemus may not want to openly admit it, even as many of us do, come questioning at times to the master teacher. Because when we do this, we bring our heart's desire to Jesus. We pick up the story in John, the third chapter, and we look at this. It gives us the introduction that Nicodemus came, but look at the presumption here. He says, "Then there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" You know, we come to this table this morning, we come to remember what Christ has done for us upon the cross. Do we fully understand every aspect of that and why he went to the cross for each one of us, to know every minute detail, to give us that as he gave his life a ransom for many? No, we don't. But what we do know, just as Jesus, as Nicodemus knew, for no one can do these things that he does unless God is with him. And we see here Nicodemus, a Jewish leader, even a teacher of others, still asking and seeking for answers. And you know what? This story in here tells us it's okay to do that. You know, what do we know? Or do we know the same thing, or we believe, or we should know the same thing that Nicodemus knew? Where to go to search for this understanding? A meeting with Jesus. When we come to this table, and we're doing this by invitation right now around this table, he knows what we need even before we ask. You know, this starts off with this telling us who this Nicodemus was. It doesn't even say that he asked the question first, but Jesus had the answer before he even asked. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say this to you. You must be born again. The winds blow where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus would then ask Jesus again. So again here he says, "How can these things be? you and I may have uttered these very words this week. How can these things be? But listen to the answer Jesus gives, and answer, and this is the answer, can, and see if we can't apply this to our lives today, tomorrow, and then the days ahead. Starting off here in verse 11 of chapter 3. Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you did not receive our witness. For I have told you of earthly things, and you do not believe. And how I believe, if I tell you of heavenly things, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who has come down from heaven, that is the Son of God. He who is in heaven, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are here today to do this very thing, to lift up Jesus. In the midst of uncertainty and trials, lift up Jesus. When we do not have all the answers, lift up Jesus. When others may lean on us as a stable force in this, lift up Jesus. We come around this table to remember and to commemorate the lifting up of Jesus upon the cross, as in the serpent in the wilderness, when the people were pointed to the form lifted up then, Jesus' death upon the cross was for the healing of nations, of mankind, and for all of us. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time, that and even these biblical examples that we have before us, Lord, that we know that we can come to you. We can bring our heart's desire and our thoughts and our minds and come to you. And just as even the discourse there between Jesus and Nicodemus there, giving us that hope of eternal life if we're born in him, and even as kind of a direction in our life as well, when trials and tribulations come up against us, go to him. Lift him up to others. Lift him up in the way that we act in, the way that we live, the way that we share with others. Just keep lifting up Christ. Now as we prepare and as we look upon this risen Savior, and we look upon him as a time and commemorate this time of when he was lifted up upon the cross, our minds are drawn to that, drawn to the crucifixion, and even drawn to the empty tomb. And as he gathered his closest friends that night before all this happened, that he would institute and give them this form of remembrance in these emblems we have before us today. The fruit of the vine representing his pure and precious blood that would be poured out and shed for many. And the bread which gives us an idea of his broken body that was beaten and torn apart with the whip and the lash. But this was done for us. This was done for his compassion that he had for us, his compassion and love. And we, as we commemorate that this time, maybe even commit ourselves more fully to lifting you up to someone else this week. Your Son's name we pray.